the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. We thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for this reading. We thank you for the worship we've had and the worship we will have. And we thank you that we can gather together in this place, in peace, in this country, to about your word. And we ask that you help us now to concentrate on what your word says to us and to put it into practice this week. We are in Jesus' name. But the attention span of most people is 15 seconds. So I've entitled this sermon, The Gospel in 15 Seconds. And you see this on TV, of course, when you look at TV1 or TV3 News, is that they put the headlines on, and within 15 seconds, you've got the key points that they're going to have in a very dramatic style. And there's always in there one thing that'll keep you waiting for. And it's usually fairly trivial. On the night I was writing this, it was about Billy the cat who'd fell down a drain and how they got him out again. And this was in the first 15 seconds of the TV3 News. And so it's all built on the philosophy, if you don't get them in the first 15 seconds, you've lost them. Now, I've been talking for more than 15 seconds, and I'm just wondering who's asleep. Put your hand up. No one dares. It seemed impossible to be able to summarize the whole gospel in 15 seconds. But I think we can do it, and I just want to give it a go. So we have a video. I'm going to ask you to watch the video, and can we turn the lights out? Glenda's just gone now. She's answering the phone. Can we just turn the lights out, and then you can watch this video. It's 15 seconds long exactly, and then we'll talk about why this summarizes the church in 15 seconds. We're just going to have a go and see if we can get it going. 15 seconds. Right. Talking while they're having a go. And when they're ready, because I'll lose you if I wait more than 15 seconds with silence. Right. The video is about some geese. Here we go. Again, because we'll lose the furnace. Get going. Waiting. I'll just give the introduction. I'll break the surprise for you. It's geese walking down the road. And the question is, why do these geese walking down the road symbolize the church in 15 seconds? Now, when you look at the video, you'll see that there is a line of geese. And look first at who is leading the geese. Which goose is leading? Then you look at where the big geese are, where the little geese are, and who's right at the back. And this is the geese walking down the road. And why are they walking down the road and not flying? Because geese can fly, of course. So the geese walk down the road. There's the big goose at the front. So when you look at the goose at the front, who is the goose at the front? The goose at the front symbolizes Jesus Christ. He leads the geese down the road. So he is the one who is leading the geese. And like the church, we follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who leads us. We follow Jesus. The big geese are on the outside of the pack running down the road, and the little ones are inside. Why is that the case? Because the bigger geese protect the little geese. The big geese are the ones who protect the geese, are the ones who are more vulnerable. Let's see if we can get it to go. Well, there you have the church in 15 seconds. Why? I think now I've given you some of the clues. Can I press luck and see if we can have it again? And you can just see who's leading, who's at the back, who are on the sides, and who's in the middle. Right. So watch for the leading goose, who's Jesus Christ. And I'm going to suggest the church is all of us who follow Jesus Christ. The ones at the back, right at the very back, who are that? It's a bit of a disappointment for ministers and elders because they're right at the back, not at the front. The ones who care for the ones who are the slowest and the most vulnerable are the pastors right at the back. So in the true picture of the church, you should see the pastors and the elders and those who care right at the back. Never mind. That's all right. you've probably got the idea. So the first thing is that the head goose is Jesus Christ. Secondly, the church is moving somewhere. The church goes somewhere. It doesn't stand still. And thirdly, the geese are not flying. And the reason why is not that the big geese can't fly, is that the small geese can't fly. And so the big geese protect the small geese and walk at their pace. And fourthly, the big geese are on the outside and the smaller ones are in the middle. And the big geese protect the young and care for them. And lastly, the big geese are right at the back. They can run faster, of course, than they are here, but they're there to encourage and to look after the ones who are falling behind. And ministers in the church are like that, and elders are like that. Their job is to... So this short video gives us five key points, those key points about the Christian community. And the church should be honoured to be called a flock of geese. So next time somebody calls you a silly goose, don't worry about it. It's actually a good compliment. And it's also true that the Christian message can be summed up in a short 15-second phrase. And John 3:16 is often said to be a wonderful summary of the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you sum up the gospel or the Christian community in 15 seconds, anyone can grasp it. When you can do that, anyone can grasp it. But it takes a lifetime and longer to understand it fully. And that's what makes the Christian life so fascinating and challenging. So remember John 3:16 and the geese walking down the road. But today is September the 30th, and that's International Translation Day. International Translation Day. And it's named after St. Jerome, who translated... What did he translate? Who knows their history? St. Jerome translated the Bible from what into what? Greek into Latin. He translated into Latin and made a famous version of the Bible. And so today I've chosen the story of Jesus on the cross in Mark 15 Mark 15 to mark International Translation Day. Like the joke, verse 34 expresses the very essence of the gospel in less than 15 seconds. And verse 34 says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, a unique verse in the whole Bible. Why is it a unique verse? Someone guess? I don't allow people to hold the whole New Testament. In all the Gospels. It's a unique verse in the whole New Testament because it's the one time you actually hear the very words that Jesus spoke. Mark has left the words in Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke. So everything else is translated. But these are the one time you hear the very words, Jesus' actual words, in his first language, his mother language. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is what Jesus actually said. And then... Mark provides a translation. My God, why have you forsaken me? So it all gets complicated with languages. You have the original Old Testament basically in Hebrew, then you have in Hebrew, the New Testament's in Greek, but Jesus spoke Aramaic, which is a language related to Hebrew. And so you get a three or four languages and being involved here, but this is the original language that Jesus spoke. And that's the language that was spoken around Nazareth in Galilee. And it's as different from Cantonese is from Mandarin. It's actually quite a different language. And they were basically different languages in themselves. So Mark wrote a third language, Greek, for Greek Christians. Of course, he knew that the Greek Christians would not understand Jesus' words, Aramaic. He put them... but he knowing that people would not understand them. And then, of course, he had to provide a translation. Now, he could have just left it as a translation. He just could have said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Jesus said. That's what he could have said in his gospel. And, if you look at Psalm 21, verse 1, David says exactly the same words. But in the English Bible, it's translated. In the Latin that Jerome translated, it was in Latin. Nobody left that in the original Hebrew. So in David's words in Psalm 21, verse 21, the exact same words are left or are translated into Latin, into English, and they don't leave it in the original words that David actually spoke. So why was Mark so keen to give us the original Aramaic words? I want to suggest that there's really one key point here that he wants to make, and that's because this verse is central to the whole New Testament. It's central to Mark's understanding of what was happening in this whole gospel, and especially on the cross. In this moment when Jesus actually says these words, he is taking the whole of all our sins on himself. And this is the precise point in history in which forgiveness for our sins actually becomes possible. And this is the point in the gospel where Jesus, who is the light of the world, moves out of God's light, out of the light of God's love, into complete and utter darkness. This is the point at which God abandons him, because Jesus has taken our sins upon himself. You can talk a very great deal about what that actually means, but this is the point in history where this happens. So Jesus is moving away from God's love and out of God's light and is abandoned by God. But it's the point at which we're going in exactly the opposite direction. We have the opportunity to move into God's love and God's forgiveness and receive God's love and forgiveness for ourselves because of what is happening here in on the cross. Of course, theologians have debated for 2,000 years now exactly what Jesus meant, exactly what's happening. But what is happening is that point of the crossover, the point at which Jesus moves away from God's love, is abandoned by God's love, and the point at which we are able to move into God's love and receive his forgiveness. So that, as I say, it's been debated for 2,000 years. Now, let me just give you an example of what I think it might mean. I hope this makes sense. I thought it did at the time. But just see if you think this illustration makes sense. I am from the TV3 News. One of the things they like to put on as an interesting thing that people like to watch is that Voyager 1, at the moment, the spaceship that was a space probe that was launched 35 years ago, is now about to enter into a whole new dimension called interstellar space. Anytime now, it will move out of this galaxy into what's known as interstellar space. Now, interstellar is Latin for between the stars. Now, what that means, it moves out of one galaxy and hasn't yet moved into the next galaxy. It's about to leave our galaxy and solar system without actually entering another. Now, what is it going to enter into? Now, I hope there's no scientists here, because this is Charlie Brown science. This is, but what I understand is going to happen is that it moves into a place where there is absolutely, literally, and completely nothing, except radiation. No light, there is nothing there, and the signals that it sends back will slowly disappear because the radiation will actually destroy the craft, and it moves beyond any contact. And so the point is that about this interstellar space is not simply that it's dark, but light is actually destroyed, because any light going in there is actually destroyed. Now, this is bad science, I'm sure. But the light that goes in there is actually destroyed. It is not just swallowed up. The sort of place that Jesus went to, he went to a place where God's love does not go, even God's love. He went to a place that where love is destroyed. And he's sort of, at this point on the cross, where Jesus says these words, he's like Voyager 1, who's just about to go into that next space, that next place, where not only is there no love, but love is actually destroyed. And love is completely obliterated. When we say that God's love, God went into, died on the cross, we're actually saying that he died for us, but he went to a place where love itself was destroyed. And that is the extent to which he loves us, and the extent to which God has gone to redeem us. A statement about God's power. Jesus went there, but God brought him back for us. They can, of course, lack love and be devoid of love. And Christians can now affirm, and Christians, because of what these words on the cross, can now affirm that there is nowhere on earth that is like interstellar space. Nowhere on earth is unreachable by God's love. Nowhere on earth can God's love actually be destroyed. Because Jesus, like Voyager 1, went to such a place, no one on earth need ever go to such a place. Need ever go to a place where love is destroyed, because Jesus has been there and has come back from there and has redeemed us, or anybody who goes there, or perhaps even deserves to go there, but there is no one on earth who needs to be in a place like that because of what has happened in this place. Now, to see if we can get the second one of these videos, there's a second video, which I hope will work, because I want to explain how in 1 minute and 16 seconds, now this is a long one, I hope nobody goes to sleep during this, 1 minute and 16 seconds, how love can overcome the gap or overcome that space between people. Let's see if we can do it.
Well, I think it's fine building jumbo planes, taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
For Telecom, and I have no relatives who work for Telecom. That's not the point of this video. Okay, Shin, what countries do those boys represent? Yeah, and what's the one that was former Yugoslavia? Yeah. So Ivan is a Croatian boy, and Stefan is, am I getting this right around now? Serbian, right. Now, what religions are they? Muslim. Okay, so there's dual problem here. The religious problem, a political problem. And it's actually quite a clever video, I think, because at the start there's a gap between them physically. What's the gap that's physically between them? What happens when Stefan comes in? You know, the two opposite ends of the couch. And there's no communication. Now, the other interesting thing here, of course, is nobody's remembered to tell them their country's at war, so they can't talk. So everyone's forgotten to tell them that. So communication is possible. However, Telecom get it badly wrong. Makes a huge mistake here. What does Telecom say happens? Play it again. Yeah, just play it again. Because what does Telecom say happens, and what actually happens? You just play it. Wait, 1 minute 16 seconds. I'm sure you can.
I think it's fine building jumbo planes, taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Telecom says that the first thing they did was that they talked. Is that correct? What was the first thing that happened that made that friendship possible? Yeah. Ivan gave Stefan the little plane, right? So So that was the first thing that happened. It was not something they said. It was something that was given. Right. That was crucial in that creation of that relationship. And that's the same thing between God and ourselves. It's not what was said, it's what was given. And what was given? Christ on the cross. And the central point of all of that is right here in this passage. So then after the plane is given, what's the next scene there? They actually counter that gap. The gap closes between them and they start talking about the plane. And one of the things that this passage encourages us to ask is, what was Jesus actually talking about and doing on the cross? Why is that such an important event in our faith? And so that becomes the crucial issue for us. What happened on the cross, and what is it that God has given us? And then the two boys start playing together, and we then accept God's gift in the same way that Stefan accepted Ivan's plane. Only when that happens does talk become plausible. So Telecom, I think, got it rather wrong there. This is a key passage in the Gospel. This is the passage around which the whole Gospel centers. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And that's one of the most precious verses in the Bible, because for the first and only time we hear the very words that Jesus actually spoke. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be like the geese on the move, following Jesus Christ, protecting one another, encouraging one another, and help those who are weaker and vulnerable, those who are newer in the faith, to learn and to move with Jesus Christ and not fall by the wayside. Two, to help us to be to appreciate that Jesus Christ on the cross has taken all our sins upon himself. That is a very difficult thought and hard to understand. And people have debated that for thousands of years. We know that by taking our sins upon himself, have accepted us as your own sons and daughters, that we are accepted as your people because of what Jesus has done for us in this. And so we ask that you bless us as we seek to worship you, as we seek to be your people, spreading your gospel, sharing your gospel in the world around us. The good news that Jesus died for us and that God's love is powerful enough to bring him back from that place where love is destroyed. We ask that you now make us disciples. We ask that you help us to become better disciples, and that you help us to make disciples of those around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.